Happy Monday, everybody. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We have listener Carrie standing by, and we're going to talk about her trip to Walt Disney World last July. And she had an awesome mommy-daughter trip. Her daughter was 10 at the time. They hung out at Disney's Polynesian Resort and visited the Magic Kingdom quite a bit. Had some great meals, the Bon Voyage breakfast, Ohana breakfast, 1900 Park Fair, Cinderella's Royal Table, and we even talk about her daughter Natalie going on Seven Dwarves Mine Train to her heart's content. How can you do that? Stand by for that. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. When it comes time to book that next Disney adventure, whether it's Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, even Adventures by Disney, work with the best, and that's the folks over at the Magic for Less. They are a platinum earmarked agency, which means Disney has recognized them for being the best of the best. So drop by themagicforless.com, fill out that free no obligation quote form, and an agent will get back to you right away. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits, cost you nothing extra, and every purchase helps everything we do here on the show. So please bookmark it and use it often. brguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1683 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you. Hope you had a great weekend, even though this weekend was only 2 days. But what can you do? We can't get those three-day weekends all the time. Got to keep them special. We're getting the week started the right way, even if you have a short commute, maybe down the steps to the office, or maybe you're still driving across town to get to your office. We're going to take you down to Walt Disney World virtually. We get to go there soon for real, but until then, we got to do these virtual trip reports and have fun in our mind's eye. Today, we're headed out to Columbus, Ohio, where the Ohio State University resides. Carrie's joining us. Carrie, how you doing today?
I'm good, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing great. And we got I'm super excited because even before we started recording, when I saw you were in Columbus, we had to talk just a brief moment of college football and it made me smile.
Yeah, we're looking forward to hopefully somewhat of a season out here. I don't know. We'll see.
Is football a big deal in Columbus? No, just kidding. I know it is.
Oh, just a little. Just a little bit. Yep. We are big Ohio State fans here.
Very nice. Got to get to the Horseshoe sometime. It looks like a great venue to watch a game.
It is amazing. We've been there a couple times. It's pretty amazing.
All righty. Well, hey, let's talk some Disney. Let's have a good time here. Let's get a little escapism. And let's talk about your trip last July. So before we jump into that trip, though, I like to ask the guests, what's your background in Disney? Why are you listening to a Disney podcast? You know, what's so special about Disney for you? How did it all get started?
So we have three kids. We have twin boys that are 17 and then a daughter that's 10. And when the boys were about four, so probably 13 years ago, we took our first family vacation to Walt Disney World to visit my brother-in-law who was doing the college program. And we thought it was a one and done. And that was not true. So we've been multiple times over the years as a family. We've done three Disney Cruise Line vacations. And then my husband and I did a couples trip years ago when they had one of their first 24-hour events. That was super fun. And then since then, you know, we've been a couple times with our extended family as a family of five. And we just keep going back. And, you know, listening to you is always so helpful. I actually found you on Touring Plans in nice. A chat chat about best podcasts to listen to. Oh, wow. So, yeah. So I thought that was pretty cool. So that's kind of how we started with Disney. My husband went every year as a kid. So, you know, he has that sort of background as well. So that's kind of how our Disney vacation life started.
It's always funny when you hear that. It was, excuse me, it was going to be a one and done. We've probably had that 100 times on the show over the last 12 years. And, you know, everybody, obviously, if you're doing a show with me, you've been multiple times, you're a huge Disney fan. But it's funny how you know, it was the same for me. And I was going down, it was just like something to check off the bucket list. And then something about the place. And it's not really a tangible thing, just really hit home with me. And I felt so comfortable. I felt so happy. And I just kind of loved the dynamics of Walt Disney World. And, you know, it sounds kind of the same story for you.
Yeah, I think we're very much the same in that we've always felt like there's always something for all of our kids to enjoy. We can enjoy everything as a family. And while it takes a lot of planning, once you get there, it's just like so much fun. There's so much to do. I always feel like we get a huge value out of our Disney vacations. And like I myself have been probably 10, 11 times by now, and I still haven't done everything. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of something I love too. There's always something new to do when we go. Yeah.
Let me ask you this, because we are, you know, in kind of crazy times right now. We're still waiting for the parks to reopen here next month. I'm glad we could say next month now. That's something to say. But how did you kind of keep Disney alive through the quarantine, through the period, you know, March, the parks closed? You know, it's one of those things. And I've heard with our big audience, we have a pretty big audience, that some people just like, they said, I couldn't listen to the podcast. I couldn't read blogs. I'm so sad about this. I just can't even connect to Disney until everything's back to normal, where other people kind of jumped all in and made recipes and all that. Where did you guys fall in that spectrum as to how to keep Disney alive in this weird time?
That's a great question. So I have done a couple of Disney copycat recipes. I've done the Grand Floridian chocolate chip cookies here at home. I made some cinnamon rolls about a week or two ago that were very good. And then, you know, I listen to the podcast when I can. I try to listen to it when I'm working or going, you know, in the car or whatever. So I have a lot of episodes to catch up on because I haven't really been in a dedicated space to listen a lot. But, you know, we haven't really put it aside until today. We were planning a Disney vacation for July as a family. And now that's kind of, you know, being postponed, I think, probably. But, you know, we watch our Disney Plus. I love all the background shows on Disney Plus, like Disney Insider, The Imagineering Story. We've been watching pop culture. I love all that kind of stuff, too. And I've been reading a lot of Disney books. You know, I read Bob Iger's Ride of a Lifetime and all those sorts of things, and just kind of soaking it all in while I have time to do that stuff I don't normally have time for.
I wish I had time. I know, yeah. I know, because everybody's you're home, but I'm like, I work from home every day, you know, and it's like nothing slowed down for me, even though, you know, you think, oh, well, the park's closed in March. I probably haven't been doing it. No, I've been working harder since March.
I get that. Yeah, it's nothing slows down, but, you know, that's just the way it goes.
I got to check out Prop Culture. That's one thing on Disney Plus, because I love the Imagineering Story. That was amazing. Mm-hmm. That's on my
list. I wish they would do a series about that for the resorts. I think that would be fascinating, too. On the Imagineering Story about the resorts. Yes. I would love that.
How deep are they going to go? Because, I mean, with us Disney geeks, man, it could never be deep enough. But you're right.
Oh, no. I'd
totally fall into it. Okay, so let's jump into the trip report. So obviously you guys, you know what you're doing. You had this trip planned. So you went last July. So give us a little bit of how it came together, who you went with, and that kind of stuff.
Okay. So I have been taking my daughter on just a mommy and me trip. We've done three or four of them now, when her older brothers and my husband have like a church mission trip or the boys have band camp or something, I take that as a time to take my daughter to Disney World, just the two of us. So that's how that kind of came about. They were out of town on a church trip, and so I booked this trip for us, and we went for 6 nights. We stayed at the Polynesian, just in a standard view room. We had 5-day park hoppers and the Disney Dining Plan. So that was kind of the background of our trip. And I booked it as soon as the window opened and, you know, planned my dining fast passes carefully, and it ended up being a great time.
You know what? If I was anybody else in the family, I'd be fired up when I found out you're staying at the Polynesian.
So on our last trip in 2018, we did a split stay between Boardwalk and the Poly. The Polynesian was the shorter length of stay. We were there for 2 nights, and the Boardwalk we were there for, I think, 3. And Mike, once I got to the Poly, I was like, I'm never leaving this place. Like, I love it. I never stayed there before. I am admittedly a deluxe resort snob. Like, I have stayed at all of them. I love all the deluxe resorts. Like, that's really the only place I'll stay. But we've stayed at the Poly twice now, and that says something, because we try to stay someplace different each time, and we loved it. I just love it there. I feel like I'm on vacation.
That really says something too. It says something too, because I know how awesome. I love the boardwalk. I love the location. I love the resort. I love the pool. I love the dining. I love everything about the boardwalk. And I've only stayed at the Polynesian one night a long, long time ago before a cruise. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really get to take in any of the amenities. And it's a bucket list thing for me. So let's start there. Okay. So tell us about. You obviously loved it the first time. Did it live up to the hype this time? What did your daughter think? What was it all about?
So the second time, I will say I didn't love the standard room. The previous trip, we'd had a studio, a deluxe studio, and I love those. The setup is great. The bathroom setup is great. The decor is nice. And I just think our room needed an update. But it wasn't terrible. So don't get me wrong. It wasn't terrible. It was just different than the studio situation. But we had a great location. We had a great quote-unquote standard view of the beautiful palm trees and the vegetation. It was just so pretty. And we were in the Rarotonga building, which is right next to the Grand Ceremonial House. So I had requested that building specifically because I knew where it was and that was in a good location. So, you know, that was great. We still had good access to the pool and Captain Cook's for meals, of course, and to fill our mugs and all that sort of thing. And the monorail drops you off right there on the upper level of the main building. So it's just a short walk to our room, which was really nice. That's important to me. So, yeah, that was great.
And one of the things I've noticed about the monorail resorts, you know, in this era, the past couple of years, is that because they've pushed out the security points to the monorail entrances, you know, say at the Contemporary or the Polynesian, that is such a plus, because you breeze through security at the platform at the Polynesian and boom, you're right into the Magic Kingdom, which I think, yeah, I don't know what it's going to look like, you know, come July, you know, next month when they reopen the parks, because with all the other screenings and stuff. But I mean, that was a huge plus for being at a deluxe on the monorail for me.
Oh, it's huge. It's amazing. It saves you so much time. You know, the one thing is, you know, the Poly gets kind of busy with people coming there to just check it out. You know, some people come to watch the fireworks, you know, from the beach and eat at Ohana or, you know, get a drink or whatever. So, but overall, it's just such a nice resort. It's small, it's fairly quiet. The cast members there are always so amazing, and it smells good. I mean, it's just like the tiki torches, the Hawaiian music, you smell the barbecue from the luau. It's amazing. I love it.
I love the luau. So, have you guys ever done the luau?
We have not. I've thought about it a couple of times.
I love it. I've done it three times. I know people hate on it.
I think we will sometime. I've never done it.
Yeah, that's good.
But I think it's one of those things I'll do as a new experience sometime, you know, when we go back. So
it's cheesy.
Yeah.
It's totally cheesy.
I know.
But, I mean, you're Walt Disney World. Come on, man. If you don't like a little cheese, you're in the wrong place.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
So, let me ask you about this. So here's the one question I have, because this is my dream when I stay at the Polynesian. Did you guys get Lay's at check-in?
Oh, yeah. Heck yes. We get off the Magical Express, and we are dog tired because we had to take my husband and the boys to meet their bus to go to Minneapolis at like 6 o'clock in the morning. So our flight wasn't until probably 8 or 9. I mean, it was timed well, but we were dog tired. And we get off the Magical Express, and there's this cute little cast member standing there. Her arm was full of purple Lay's. Aww. And she was like, I mean, we stepped off the bus and she's putting it over our heads. I'm like, this is why I stay here.
I love it.
This fake Lay from probably who knows where, but I didn't even care. I'm like, this is beautiful. And then, you know, if yours gets lost or ripped or whatever, they'll give you a new one. You just go to the front desk and ask for another one. And, you know, we wore them. My daughter tied them around her mini ears, like at the top, to make like a crown. And, you know, it was a good time. So, yes, they do. They do present Lay's to you upon arrival.
They should. It's such a cool tradition.
It's like, awesome.
I still have mine when we went to the luau, because they gave them to you for that too. I was like, this is awesome. I'm not staying here, but I got a Lay's.
So but I got a Lay's. So exactly. I can't think of her name, and I feel bad because I don't know, but there used to be a woman, and she's passed away, who made real Lay's in the lobby of the Poly. And when we were there last time, she was still there doing it. She had real flowers, and she was making them. I think you have to purchase them, obviously, but she would sit in the lobby and and make them by hand. So that was pretty cool too.
Mallory actually has a picture with her. She was sitting there and we got a picture with, I didn't know she passed away.
Passed away. Yeah. But that was really cute too, that she was in there making them. So,
So let's kind of hop into time in the theme parks. You guys were down there in July. Obviously we go every July. Well, this July, we're always there for the 4th of July, obviously. Now, and this year, looks like St. Peter's 4th of July for the first time. But obviously hot. You get a lot of afternoon thunderstorms. Typically, some years we don't get that many. But how was the temperature, the crowds, and what did you guys do in the theme parks?
So I felt like the crowds were okay since we started going. I used to be a language arts teacher, so we used to go in the summer all the time anyway. So that wasn't anything new to us. You know, it was pretty, the humidity was noticeably oppressive this last time, more so than the time we'd been previously. So it was pretty hot and humid, but we're big fans of taking a pool break. So we made sure that happened every day. And then we did have some good rainstorms, but nothing that held us down. Like we had our ponchos, we were, you know, ready to go. And that was no big deal at all. But the crowds were decent. Like I was kind of surprised at how low they were, I felt like, for summer. But you know, at that time I think a lot of people were holding out for Galaxy's Edge too, so that mid-July kind of time was sort of a decent time to go in terms of summer crowds. But it worked out well. Everything flowed nicely. We took our breaks, had our ponchos. We just had one really bad rainstorm, but it was at night, and we did have to run from Storybook Circus all the way up to the monorail station to make it back because it was pouring rain. We were soaked. It was awful. But otherwise, it was fine. So the weather was good. The crowds were good.
Good old liquid sunshine. Is what you got. Yeah, no kidding.
Well, so we had a 5-day park hopper, and we did parks pretty much every day, off and on, you know, breaks and whatnot. We did Magic Kingdom. 2 full days at Magic Kingdom, and then hopped around between Epcot, Hollywood Studios, and Animal Kingdom. The other days, we did a lot of character dining, Garden Grill, Bon Voyage breakfast, Crystal Palace. We did the Royal Table. We did Ohana for breakfast. So those were some of our highlights. My daughter still likes to meet the characters. You know, she's 10 now, but she still likes that, so we do it. So that was good too. We did 1900 Park Fair dinner one evening, which is always one of our favorites. So yeah, we do a lot of dining at Disney. We do a lot of character dining.
Don't we all? So I mean, like, isn't that why we go? I mean,
that is just one of those things where that is like, she and I like it. I mean, we love the Royal Table, and that's kind of our thing we like to do. And so, yeah. It always works out well, I think. That's when I feel like we get a good value on our dining plan.
You just named basically like a murderer's row of Disney dining plan restaurants because, you know, that's like a reference to old baseball, but it's one of those things like you just can't go wrong. Like, you know, it's like one after the next great, like you mentioned the word earlier, value out of your vacation, out of the dining plan. I mean, you just nailed it.
Yeah, we didn't do dining 2 trips ago, and I kept all my receipts, and I priced it all out and just kind of neurotic about it. And we basically broke even this last time adding it. Plus we had our mugs and, you know, our snacks and all that kind of stuff. And it worked out for us. Even just the two of us. So it was good. Very good.
So talk about the dynamic though, of just you and your daughter, because most people, when they go, some people go solo, especially for like race weekends. A lot of folks go like me with a family of 4, family of 5, family of 6. When it's just you and one child, there's, you know, an opportunity to move at a quicker pace and to be more spontaneous in what you're doing. So you said you hopped around some days you went to the Magic Kingdom, but overall, like what's the feel when it's just you and your daughter and you get to spend that quality time one-on-one?
So when it's just the two of us, it's often just whatever you want. Yes, I say yes a lot when it's just the two of us. You know, she wants something, she wants to go back for a swim. You know, she wants a souvenir. She wants to ride Dumbo 5 times. Fine. Yes. The planning is kind of nice because she's old enough to have a say and give me her opinions. But at the same time, it's like, okay, well, you don't feel like, you know, riding that again. Okay, we'll just do something else. And it's no big deal. It's very relaxed, I think. And, you know, we do some experiences that may be a little expensive for bigger families. We did the Caring for Giants tour. We've did the Happily Ever After dessert party. We've done that twice now. We did the frozen dessert party this last time. And, you know, we do, a couple of times we've done four parks in one day. That was fun for the two of us. But my family of five can't move four parks in one day.
No, I can't. I mean, there's no way. No way. Especially in July. You're kidding me? In July, that's like a no. Negative
on that. Our first trip together, she was about seven. And I meticulously planned four parks in one day. I'm like, we're going to do this. This is like my Disney bucket list thing, right? So we did it. It was great. Last year, we're riding the monorail back from Epcot back to, I think we were going to Magic Kingdom or something. And she's like, Mom, I think we should do four parks in one day. And this was like it was probably like noon. And I thought, you've got to be kidding me. Like, okay. And so we did. Like, we just did it, you know, and, you know, take your picture to prove it type thing. But we did, and it was totally on the fly. Terrible fast passes, I'm sure, but we just made the best of it. But, you know, we do that kind of stuff. And like I said, the dessert parties and tours and stuff are more manageable when it's just two of you as opposed to five of you. So we tend to do some of those special experiences, too, just the two of us.
First of all, if my kid said that, I'd be like, you have to give me at least 6 months notice if we do four parks. I got to train, and I got to have the right shoes, and I got to carpool the night before.
It was great. It was so fun. It was fun.
That's awesome you guys did that.
Yeah.
Okay, real quick, I got to ask you, because you mentioned the Caring for Giants. We get a lot of questions on that, have not done that. You and your daughter. So give just a brief nutshell review of that. What'd you think?
Oh, it was so cool. I don't know if I would do it again, just because I think it's, you can do it once and enjoy it. It's not a must do each time. But I love it. We've done like Behind the Scenes, and we've done Caring for Giants and some of those smaller tours. They're always so well done. And so we booked Caring for Giants like first thing in the morning at Animal Kingdom, because I knew it would be hot. That park is always so hot to me.
Yeah,
so we booked that first thing in the morning. We were on the first tour out, and it was very cool. They, you know, they take you backstage. You walk kind of behind where Tusker House is and where the cast members enter for Festival of the Lion King, that kind of area of the park. And they take you back, and you can see all the safari buses parked back there, which is kind of cool. And you get on this little shuttle bus, and they drive you backstage around and talk to you about how they take care of the animals at the park, and, you know, what they do to feed them and make sure they're safe and all that sort of thing. And then when you get to the tour area, they let you off of the little bus, and you can't take photos, of course, you know, as you're driving backstage. Once you get back there, you can start taking some on the tour. But they let you off, and you go up these little stairs, and you're on this, like, sort of walking path on the other side of the safari. So, like, we could see the safari buses going through on the attraction sort of from the other side. I don't know if you or your listeners have seen guests on the Wild Africa tracks. Yep. Sometimes you can see them walking across the bridges, that sort of a vantage point. So you're on the other side of that. And there's elephants out there. And, you know, they talk to you about the elephants and how they care for them. The particular elephants we were seeing was a mother and a couple of her babies. And, you know, they just gave us great information. There's a tour guide that goes with you. And then there's also a cast member from, I think the one we had was from somewhere in Africa. Like, he was very culturally minded. He knew a lot about elephants and Asia and Africa and all these things. Like, he was very knowledgeable. And they talked to you about animal preservation and how they, you know, care for them and the Save the Elephants campaign and research and stuff. It was very interesting. I think if you have kids that like animals, or if you want a different perspective on Animal Kingdom, it's a great thing. It was only like $30 a person.
Wow.
So, and we were out there for an hour and 15 minutes. So I thought it was great. You know, it was good. Definitely something I think people should look into doing for something affordable, like an extra experience. So it was good. Yeah, definitely good. I've heard good things about up close with rhinos, or whatever that one is too, as well. But we chose Caring for Giants just because it worked better with our schedule. That's so cool. It was good.
Definitely. You know, it sounds affordable too. That's something that's, you know, because everybody's looking, especially if you're listening to the show, to kind of do something you've never done. And a lot of our listeners have done quite a few things, you know, stayed at resorts, seen the attractions. This is kind of that next level experience, you know.
I felt like it didn't take a ton of park time, you know, but like we don't spend a lot of time at Animal Kingdom just in general. I love it, but we don't spend a ton of time there every trip. But it gave us a different perspective. And, you know, we're there for a different experience. You know, that's fine with us. We're happy to spend our time doing that and not attractions during that hour and 15 minutes or whatever. It was good.
Let me ask you one other thing kind of with these extra things that you're mentioning. So you did the Happily Ever After dessert party a couple times, you said, and the Frozen dessert party. If you had to pick one, if Disney said, we're going to comp you one because you're such a good Disney fan, which one are you going to do?
Happily Ever After.
Okay, why?
Absolutely.
Just because of the show?
The show. Yeah. I love it. I love the show. I mean, I love it so much. Like, I listen to the soundtrack at home when I'm working in the background. Like, I love it. And so it's the best. I love it. I love the vantage point. I just love Magic Kingdom in general. The food's good. You know, we've always had a good experience with that. I personally have done it 3 times, 2 of those with my daughter. And we just love it. It's so relaxing. I love watching the show from there. They have a memory maker photographer in the Plaza Garden. So if you have Plaza Garden viewing, they'll take your photo anytime you want in front of the castle. You can hold a little sign that's Happily Ever After on it. Or as the castle's changing in the background, like we'll do one when it's still kind of light out and then one when it's kind of dark and, you know, whatever. So I love it. I absolutely love it. And I know you like Illuminations, so I can see why the Frozen one would be
a good one. But, what can I do? There's nothing now.
Yeah, I know, right? Now that's all done for you. But but the Frozen dessert party, though, that was great. I would do that again, for sure. I thought the food there was much better, more of a value. I think the food there was more substantial, I think, and they had some good mommy drinks at the Frozen dessert party that they don't have at Happily Ever After. So that was good, too. I like them both, but I would choose Happily Ever After any day of the week. My favorite thing at Disney World. I love it.
It's grown on me because I was so a Wishes person. Like, I liked Wishes a lot. When they change, I'm like, why did they change? Why did they get rid of Wishes? But I think Happily Ever, and I think this is true of a lot of people. I'm not saying it is for you, but... like, it took a little bit to grow on me, and now I love it. Like, I just, it's something emotional about the music, but it was the same way with Wishes. Illuminations was all about the music. You know, it's one of those things, though. I think maybe, like, the first time you see it, you have no, like, context, you have no memories tied to it. And now that it's been around a few years, like, I have seen it with my family. I have seen it after running a marathon, you know? So, we're gaining a little, like, connection to it with each trip.
Yeah, I liked Wishes, too. I was a big Wishes fan, you know, but I feel like once I saw Happily Ever After, I felt like, okay, I can go with this. You know, this is not, you know, terrible by any means. Like, this is not a bad replacement for Wishes. But Wishes is so nostalgic. Like, I think it's hard to break Disney fans of Wishes with Happily Ever After because we all just love it so much. like the Main Street, like the Electrical Parade. Like, bring that back, you know. Like, that would make so many of us happy.
Yeah, so magic.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Now we're dreaming. No, it was kind of an unfair question to ask you though, because honestly, the Happily Ever After dessert party and the Frozen dessert party are kind of two different beasts. I mean, with one you get an attraction, with the other you get, you know, really great. Because I remember we did the Happily Ever After with the travel agency a couple of years ago. Pam got all the agents and we did that for like an evening, and it was just great because, you know, like I'm used to this, you know, shoulder to shoulder with your neighbor on Main Street or up in the hub. And it was like, I laid down on the AstroTurf and like, I could have done Snow Angels, you know, and I had that much space and I had eaten, you know, 38 little mini cupcakes and I was like dying from that. But it was, I think everybody, I know these things are not cheap. They're definitely a huge splurge for a lot of folks. But the thing is, if you can swing it, and this is a great tip that you mentioned, if it's like a mommy daughter trip, or, you know, just like, you know, you don't have like an entire family of 6, maybe you have an opportunity, you're just a couple, you know, just a couple, 3 people where it's a little bit more manageable. Everybody needs to take that splurge if you're a Disney fan, because you feel like a VIP for an hour and a half. And there's something to be said for that.
Oh, you totally do. And I feel like, you know, from a practical standpoint, the way they've been showing Happily Ever After, you have to have that straight on view. And I feel like, to me, that almost makes it worth it. You know, even to have that sort of extra space to sit there and watch and know that I don't have to sit on Main Street for 45 minutes, you know, before an hour before the show starts and wait for it with all those people in one area. Wishes was anywhere from the park. You know, it was, you could get it from anywhere, but I think there's so much of those projections that just makes it unique. You have to be in a good spot.
Yeah,
so
totally. Yeah, I totally, because we used to do the fireworks cruises out in Seven Seas Lagoon. Uh-huh. And the thing was, like, for Wishes, you wanted to be back there. It was grand. You know, it was just, you saw the fireworks in the sky over the castle and it was amazing. You're right. I mean, you see, it's still pretty sweet to be out there. I've done Happily Ever After out there, but you're kind of craning. You're like, oh, because we're on the boat and we're all, because we, for Pam's birthday, we rented the Grand One this past summer.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was awesome, but we're like, yeah, this is the part where, you know, like also comes out. This is the part where, but I mean, we didn't care. We're having a good time. But it was, you know, it is one of those things that you wouldn't want to see it out on the water for the first time, because that's not, as much as you're paying, that's not the optimal way to see it.
Well, no,
you're right. Happily Ever After, you need to see it dead on. You're exactly right.
Yeah. The last time I saw Wishes, like the last time I was able to see Wishes, was on a Pirates and Pals fireworks cruise. And we saw it from out there. That was very good. I mean, Wishes, I get it from the water, but Happily Ever After, you've got to be right there in front to see it.
Totally.
So,
I have to have you share the story about how your daughter kind of had a dream day with Seven Dwarves Mine Train. You mentioned this in the email, and I cracked up because I would have loved this.
Oh, it was the greatest. So we had been to Hollywood Studios, and kind of a short day at the park, got everything done, and we'd gone back to the Poly to swim. And a friend of mine had texted me. I knew she was in town as well. And she had texted me and she was like, do you want to meet up at Magic Kingdom? And I was like, sure, that's fine. We'll head over there. And I thought, well, she's having fun swimming. Do I really want to go? But we went. Well, we get there and my friend had been in town for some media event. I think it was like Disney Creator Days or something like that. And she was in town. And as part of that, they had gifted the attendees hard tickets that had open and fast passes on them. For people in their family, and she had four of them. Each of them had 10 open and fast passes on them, and they were getting ready to leave to go back home the next day. They couldn't use them, so she passed them off to me, and I was like, awesome, you know, we'll use these tonight at Magic Kingdom. So she gave them to me, and you know, we did Peter Pan's flight once or twice, and then went to Pinocchio's, got some dinner, and I was like, so, you know, to my daughter, what do you want to do next? We can use this on anything. And she's like, well, I think I want to ride the mine train. So it was storming. We waited it out for a little bit in Pinocchio's, and then it let up. And so we head over to the mine train, and we scan in with these cards and get on the attraction. And then we get off, and I'm like, okay, now what? She's like, let's ride it again. I was like, okay. So we come out the exit, go back through the fast pass queue, scan our cards, you know, get back on. Mike, it was like probably 7:30, 8 o'clock. We rode it till park closed. Like, we just kept scanning these cards to get back on the mine train. And I love looking at my Memory Maker photos because it's almost like a comic strip. Like, everyone is like a different face,
different
pose. You
could like do a flip book. Like,
I totally could do a flip book of all these mine train pictures from my Memory Maker, because, you know, they take them same spot every time.
Exactly.
So at one point, we had noted my daughter's birthday on our reservation. So she was wearing her birthday button. And we pull in after one of the rides, and we're sitting in our car, and, you know, they open the gates to get out, and the cast member was like, just stay there. He's like, you can just ride again. We're like, okay. So, you know, we rode again, and then we got off, and we probably scanned our card, I don't know, three or four more times. We kept riding over and over, and it was amazing. Like, Happily Ever After was going by this point. I mean, the park was getting ready to close, and here we are back there just scanning these cards, riding Mine Train over and over and over and over again. And that was, like, our last sort of full night at Disney. So it was a great way to end our vacation. And so the next day we were leaving to go home, and we had met this little family in the elevator on our way to Ohana for breakfast, actually. And I was like, you know what, we're not going back to a park and these still have, you know, fast passes on them. They're open-ended. You can use them on anything. And they were going to Animal Kingdom, and they're like, oh, we didn't get a Flight of Passage fast pass. Can we use these on that? And I was like, yeah, you totally can. So I don't know what happened after that. I gave them to them to finish up using, you know, I hope they used them. But that was like, it was super fun. I mean, who can say they rode mine train for hours, like as the park is closing? I don't know, but it was awesome.
Well, it's almost like the movie Big with Tom Hanks back in the day. I mean, it's like, it's like every kid's dream, you know, it's like, I'm in the Magic Kingdom. I can ride my favorite ride as much as I want. And I mean, I got to say, you know, when I went to my first media event, it was back in 2014. It was the new Fantasyland Seven Dwarfs Mine Train grand opening. And so we check in, they put us up at the Wilderness Lodge. We check in and I'm like hanging out, and I run into Lou Mangiello and we're talking a little bit lobby. And he knew this was my first time at a media event. I'd met him before, but I'm like, yeah, we got to come to this. Pretty sweet. He's like, what? He's like, have you used your band yet? And I'm like, what are you talking? Because magic bands were pretty new still back then.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And he's like, I'm like, this band is cool, isn't it? Because like, this is the first band I had ever seen that wasn't just like a solid color. It was gray, but it had the like Seven Dwarfs Mine Train logo on it. Anyway, so he's like, have you used it yet? I'm like, well, no, I haven't gone over to the park. I guess it'll work. He's like, no, you don't know, do you? I'm like, what? He's like, that thing has unlimited fast passes. I'm like, you are lying.
Oh,
I'm like,
awesome.
You are messing with me because you just want me to get on that boat, go over to the Magic Kingdom, make a fool out of myself, right? He's like, no, I'm telling you, it's just, trust me. He's like, go over there and just try it on anything you want. And I'm like, whatever. So I went back to my room. I called my wife and like, you know, just checking in. I'm like, he says this thing has unlimited fast. Whatever. It does not. It did.
That's
I was
so
like,
cool.
Oh my God. I was like, I'm living every person's dream. And I was exhausted because like we had to be back for some, you know, like there was like a speaker talking to us in Imagineer or something. We were covering that and had to be back. Oh my gosh. I had my clock set the wrong on my phone because it was the wrong time zone. I was still in Central Time, not Eastern Time. I was late because I was being
funny.
I was being like, I was living my 12-year-old dream.
That's
you know,
awesome.
Like I'm at the Magic. Yeah. But I totally get it. That's when you have those kind of things, it would be special too for a parent to get to see your kid go through. Because, you know, I was there by myself, you know, with this media thing. The whole time I was thinking, God, it'd be so fun to have Paige here, Mallory here, my family here too. Because, you know, when you get to share that, it's more special. I mean, it was selfishly fun, but it wasn't as special as like having your daughter there.
Sure. It was so fun though. And like, you know, I did think our next day I would try and run over to Hollywood Studios to use on Slinky Dog, but there was no way we could make it work before we had to go home. So I was like, I'll just pass these off to somebody else and hope they can use them. But yeah, it was super cool.
And I love, that's what I miss about the old Legacy Fast Pass, is kind of making the magic for other guests. Like, you know, we'd be walking down Main Street out of the Magic Kingdom so many times 10 years ago. And we're like, well, we have 3 Fast Passes for Space Mountain and, you know, 3 for Peter Pan that we just didn't get to. You know, we're tired.
Yeah.
We want to go back. And, you know, it was always kind of a game with us. You know, if we had 3, we'd kind of scope it out going down Main Street. Like, okay, we got to find a family of 3. Like, you know, don't find a family of 4 because somebody doesn't get the ride, you know.
And then,
You know, it was a great socialization for the girls, though, because we'd tell them, you know, here's these fast passes. Go up and politely explain, we're leaving the park. We have some fast passes.
Yeah.
You know, because some people look at you like, or they would pick somebody who didn't speak English, you know.
Of course.
So they'd be
like,
so
what are these?
But it was, you know, some people were like, no, I don't want those. You're trying to sell those. No, we're giving them to you. But I miss that kind of, and I love hearing that you did that guest making magic for other guests. That's such a cool thing you can see on your trips.
Yeah, it was good. They were a cute little family, and I, you know, it's like, I'm not going to use these, so go for it.
Makes you feel good all around.
Yeah, it was good.
All right, so let's wrap this up, but let me ask you this, because, you know, I think this is kind of every parent's dream to get to spend that quality time one-on-one with one of your children. So what advice would you pass along to anybody that's thinking about doing this, you know, maybe some of the other families going off on other trips, doing other things as they get older? Did your daughter get involved in the planning? Did she help with the ADRs? And what about the practical things of being on the trip itself?
Yeah, you know, she did help with the ADRs. She has been to Disney enough times to have an opinion about what she wants to do and what she doesn't want to do. So, you know, I let her be involved in the planning. I personally did not surprise her. You know, she knew this was happening. So, you know, that was so she could be involved in the planning. And I just feel like, you know, the logistics of it, it's different, but it's really nice to have that one-on-one time with your kid. It's not something I ever thought I would do. We've always traveled as a family. Like, I would never just leave the boys behind to take off to Disney World with their sister, you know, without them having something to do. So, you know, timing wise, we try to work it around when the older kids have something else going on, and whatnot. But, you know, being in the parks, it's just take your time. You know, there's nothing to hurry to. You don't have 3-4 other people telling you, well, Mom, I want to do this. And, you know, my husband's saying, we should do this, or we missed this attraction and whatnot. It's just, it's blissful. I mean, it's just so relaxing to have that one-on-one time with your kid and to have those memories for sure.
Totally. Because, I mean, that's really what the kids crave is just your attention. And when it's just you two, you do. I mean, because I took Paige a couple times, just Paige and myself, and it was that the whole thing. You know, it was just a lot of times when you're with your entire family, while it's a ton of fun, it's constantly a game of compromise. You know, this kid wants to eat there. This kid wants to ride that. Yeah. You know, somebody wants to go back to the pool. And, you know, you do your best as a parent to make keep everybody happy and make it work out equitably for everybody. But it is so much easier when there's just one. You don't have to compromise.
Like, it is so much easier. And, you know, when you have a big age gap in your kids like we do, sometimes that's just necessary. You know, you just need that time with the older kids and the little kids and kind of make it all work out in the end. So it was good.
All right. Well, Carrie, hey, thanks so much for coming on the show and making the Monday awesome. This has been so much fun. Now I just want to go ride Seven Dwarfs Mine Train again.
I know, right?
All right. Wait, real quick, what do you think's your next Disney vacation? What are you guys looking at?
Well, we were supposed to go in July, but I think actually I might take the twins later this fall and see if I just want to take the boys, because they're really into Galaxy's Edge and Avatar and stuff, and they haven't seen that yet. So we might be doing another Mom and Me trip, but this time with my teenagers.
So we'll see.
But yeah, so that's kind of on our radar right now. But we'll for sure be going next summer, definitely, for sure. So hopefully it'll all work out.
Sounds great to me, Carrie. Thanks again for coming on the show. Sure appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
All right. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. When you have that next Disney vacation on the brain, and I think that's what's on everybody's brain now that we have dates for July. We're talking July 11th and July 15th for the theme parks reopening in phases with some restrictions. But hey, let's get down there and have some fun. Plan that next Disney vacation. Drop by themagicforless.com. Fill out that free no obligation quote form. And an agent will get back to you right away, and you'll be planning that next Disney getaway. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits, costs you nothing extra, and every purchase helps everything we do here on the show. So please bookmark it and use it often. And a huge thank you to everybody who continues to do so. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on the social media, Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike. And at Be Our Guest Pod. And of course, all the fun happens over on Facebook, facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, time to get out of here. Let you get on with your Monday. I hope you're having a great start to your week. That's what it's all about. It's all about your attitude. And you got to be smiling after this trip report with Carrie. It's a lot of fun just thinking about the kids and all the good times you can have. It's a lot of fun for me. So stay safe, stay healthy. And until we get back together for some listener questions on Wednesday, we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.